Well, how good's this? A pod by the big men of the competition and women. For too long, ruckmen have been seen and not heard, told to get knees in the back, sit in the hole, shut up in meetings, no opinions. Well, it's bullshit and it's got to stop. This is 200 plus. Get your knees up, boys. Yes, 200 plus footy from a higher place. It's the show no one really wanted, but you just can't keep three good men down.
No, you can't. You can't. And I'm glad you can't because we're tall, we're proud, and we're good looking, aren't we, Drapes?
Correct.
Yeah, yes. You're very good looking. And I saw your game on the weekend, and I said before we came onto the pod, I'm your unofficial mentor, mm-hmm. which I think you've accepted.
Yep.
Yep, you have confirmed. Okay, yep. That makes me happy. And I said strengths, lots of strengths about your game. RFIs, always room for RFIs.
Yep.
I'll talk about them later off air.
Yep.
And then just general comments was, you are big. And you are big, aren't you?
Yes, I'm a big man, yeah.
Yep, you're a big man. That's why you're on the show.
First of all, boys, we're live. You know, we've dropped a pod, so we're out there on Spotify and everywhere.
We're doing the rounds, aren't we?
Good pods, yeah. Are we excited? What are the thoughts on being out there?
Keen.
Feels
feedback?
Good. Yeah, it feels good.
Finally, feedback?
It is. We've got feedback yet. People happy with us? We don't know. Yeah, lots of nods and unsure, so yes.
We didn't miss Gil, did we? You know, occasionally when the mics are on and you're in the zone, you know, and you're not thinking about anything but your next story. And I'm like, did I sort of have a bit of a go at Gil? And then I had a listen back.
Hold
and
on.
We've accused him of shitting his pants.
I don't know what this wee business is. You had to go at Gil. There's no we had to go at Gil. You just kept going and going. I was like, mate, but pull up. He's got to come for us.
I think you called mummy fat three times.
Yeah,
yeah, well, that's true.
He made some enemies.
No. So, yeah, the pilot is live. If you've missed it, there's a lot of good stuff in there. We've besmirched a few reputations and had a go at the outgoing CEO of the AFL and mummy, but...
Talk love them.
A little bit of big man, but a lot of passion and set the scene. So it's good last, but it's good now. We're back after Drapes has dominated on Anzac Day. I have one issue to throw at you. We're recording bright and early. The 8 o'clock record time. Is that a worry?
I'm still asleep.
Sort of kicking the dew off the grass.
We are very much kicking the dew off, and you know we love producing. We love everything they do for us, and they've. Helping us here and putting the show on, but the 8 a.m. call time to kick the dew off. I think there's some corporate podcasts after this. Dylan Friends probably being recorded. Minnie Hutchie's actually in to make sure. Minnie Hutchie's actually in to make sure that we run smoothly and get off when we're told.
He's becoming so Hutchie-esque. He walks around with a golf club. He just buzzes around, checking on things.
Yeah.
Ducking off for golf lessons.
Left, right and centre.
So is he a believer in 200 plus?
Well, he had to go at Drapes on the way in.
He did.
Yeah.
What did he say to you?
He said about your form.
Yeah, just good to bounce back after three touches, I think. But that was like a month ago. But yeah, thanks, Dil.
That's our leader.
He's got presence. He's a little man.
No, it's good. It's good.
It's an angry man. But that's an angry mid type mentality.
Yeah.
Like you come and blame the ruckman. Like you only had three touches. I didn't see your three touches. I knew that you had so many impactful moments around the ground.
Yeah.
I don't care about your touches. But a little angry mid would pick that out. And come at you. So don't let him bite at your ankles. It's not fair.
Look at him. Drapes is glaring.
Through a wall.
Love to swap seats.
Yeah.
He's getting us merch and getting us air time. So little Hutchie's all right. We love him. He's becoming very Hutchie-esque. Anzac Day, mate. We've got to roll into it. You were really excited. On pod one, you said, yeah, I hope I'm there. Of course you were going to be there, but you didn't want to get an injury on the track or whatever. Talk to us about the day because you're amazing.
Thank you. I've been eyeing this one off for a while. I think I've watched about four of them from the stands, so this is my first one. So, really special day for everyone involved and really an honour, really, to play on such a special day to so many people. So, I was happy to play an all right game, but, wouldn't mind getting the win, but, yeah, that's all right.
Did the bugler and the crowd and what it means do a bit for you? You often hear players go, every game's the same, even grand finals, and you know you had to wait out there for a long time, and even watching on the TV I'm thinking, could you really be up that long? What did you feel a bit different playing on the day?
A little bit. It did go for a while, that bit, but it was kind of nice just to get a moment of calm before everything happened, and chills and goosebumps all over the body when they start doing it all, and then that cheer at the end when it's all finished and then you're done. It's like, good feeling.
I was excited on the couch. I was ready to go. I saw the fire in your eyes. I'm like, oh, my best mate's ready to go. So am I. And I sat down on the couch again. So
we're fanboys of you.
Big time.
Your game, your bump. Oh, no, there was a few things. Firstly, you had like a running bounce rugby league style thing on the wing, which was just awesome, and the broadcaster kept slow-moing it. But your hip and shoulder, because you hear so many players going, I can't bump anymore. I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to get suspended. You just leveled the bloke. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was on my strengths list. Right, okay, it was good.
Yeah. Nice. I couldn't be bothered getting the ball, so I just I'll try bump someone. So
yeah, same. Yeah. That's what I used to do as well. haven't had the ball, so I may as well just try and avoid contact.
Nothing wrong with that. It's all right us pumping you up because we know we love you, but you sort of got the highest praise any player can get during the broadcast. I remember like I almost dropped my drink when I heard this, that Lee Matthews really got around you. And yeah. I don't know, you're a young kid, so Lee in the 70s, 80s, was the toughest man around. Not a 200 pluser, but played like it. And he doesn't heap praise too easily.
Okay.
Ground level now, bang! Draper just walks into Lipinski. Love that on Anzac Day.
That was great from Draper. No use being big and lick. You're going to be big. You're big, you're probably slow. So he was lucky he didn't make high contact, of course, but the body to body contact, really strong.
Your big Sammy Draper coming at you.
So there's lethal. Just loving your presence and work. And to put it in context, so I called a game with Lee once and I must have said something all right. And he goes, good point, Nick, good point. And I almost peed my pants with pride. So for that grab, yeah. I'd cut that out. I'd get that on Insta.
Well, thanks, Lee. I do have a lot of older sort of fans. They like the bit of the mongrel and the bit of rough stuff. They love it. So, yeah, thanks for that.
You not only dominated and you had Lee pumping you up and you were just doing amazing weird highlights all day. But you've wounded the other ruckman, which normally, I mean, we don't like hurting people, but it's kind of the perfect day. But Brody's done his PCL, which wasn't great. Did you know? Did you feel and go, oh, that didn't feel good for you, Brode?
Yeah, I do remember the incident. It was late in the third, and we were both just put our knees up, and then I think I just got him flush in the knee, and it's just unlucky, I think. But he played out the game fine, but I think as soon as the game stopped, he was pretty cooked. So yeah.
Did it make a noise or?
I think so. Yeah, there was a bit of a contact. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Thank you. Because it was the round of PCLs. Mark Pidnett.
It was. Mark. I mean, so we segue into the big issue here. And we've been kissed on the shin guard here by the wider media because Ruckman. Are it. We're front page, back page, 6 o'clock news, the works at the moment because everyone's whinging about the centre bounce. You are right there amongst it. Do you have any concerns? We've got a few little men of the game, Scotty Pendlebury and Mitch Robinson, both champions, but they're saying we need to change the rules. They want an NBA tip-off.
No.
Yeah.
Grab that mic, mate, and tell us what you think.
Well, I don't know what the alternative is. Like we've changed it from the big 30-metre run-up, but I don't know. You can't make it just no contact because then we'll have big 7-foot basketball players and then just tapping it down. I don't think we want that. So
No, we don't want that.
No, we don't. Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a few options.
There are a few options. Tip off, as you said. What else do you do?
You'd like rock, paper, scissors.
That would be unreal. Because, Drapes, you're a physical ruckman. You love the contact. So the small circle does wonders for you. And I know the little mids come in after every goal and say, hey, Drapes, where are you putting it? And you can confidently say, look, go to 9 o'clock. It's going to 9 o'clock. When I was playing, didn't want any physical contact. So they'd come in and say, guys, where are you putting it, boys? Oh, I have no idea. Just read his hand.
Neutral.
Just go man on, boys.
Lock on, boys.
I've got no idea. Your guess is as good as mine.
Don't want to get too serious with it, but how strong are you that we keep doing what we're doing and allow the ruckman to run in and charge and be gladiators and stick your net? We're going to get the odd PCL. It happens. You might, by the time you're 30, you'll probably do one.
Yeah, probably.
But until then, you're just speaking about the fire and what it means. You're not going to get that if you're doing a wussy little basketball tap at the start.
I think it's just been bad timing for it at the moment. But I think over the last how many years, there haven't been that many, I don't reckon. So, I reckon we just keep it how it is. Maybe look at paying free kicks when people come across too hard and they're not really looking at the ball because there are sometimes that happens. Players come across and they don't even make contact with the ball and nothing happens. So maybe that might be a little tweak for you there. But like as far as like not letting people look at the other arc, I think that's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, right. So, because we See, Gill was good. I mean, Gill was a 200 plus.
Don't the, butter him up.
I'm buttering him. Gill's on the way out. So
we love Gill. Oh,
here we go.
We do love
Redemption.
Gill. Gill's a ruckman. So Gill was big on the knee on knee.
Yeah.
You know, he'd been in there. Yeah. The new Gill might be not. A little person
yeah.
who wants the tip off.
Mm.
So this is important. You said it there. The message, I guess, if you were. They might go around and talk to all the ruckmen. What would you say? Keep it as it is and, look, we're going to get the odd injury?
I reckon, yeah, and then just maybe penalise the ones that come across a bit too hard across the line without making clear impact with the ball.
Yeah, right.
I reckon.
What about the eyes? So there's been a bit said about not just Sean Darcy, but I think Corey McKernan wrote an article saying he's seeing too many ruckmen just looking at the opponent with their knee and it's getting a bit dangerous. Do you reckon there potentially could be a free kick if you're not watching the ball?
I don't know. I think it's really hard to judge what players are looking at. I think the umpire's got a lot to deal with at the moment, let alone where the ruckman's looking. But any good ruck in the AFL is looking at the other ruckman. That's the big difference I noticed from VFL to AFL. You can't just run and jump at the ball. You've got to have an awareness of where they are. The umpire's got too much going on at the moment. I think we'll leave them. I hate when people say take away the bounce because that adds a bit of extra stuff in there. Whereas if you ball it up every time, you're going to be smashing your show because you know exactly where it's going.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bounce makes it, you have to be more agile. You have to find out where it's landing. And people that's like, because the bounce gets called back every, I don't know, two or three a game maybe. People hate it, but just shut up.
It's tough though. I'm adamant. Get rid of the circle. I hate
back
it.
Back to the cricket pitch.
Back to it. I think we said it last time. Bring it back the massive run up.
You're too young for the cricket pitch, right? So there used to be 30 metres and guys would be prowling like lions looking at each other and snotting and sweating. But they always met in the middle and seemed to be jumping high. There was no jumping across the line because you couldn't time it that well. So in a way, in protecting a few PCLs, we might be creating some bad habits now because there's nowhere else you can go.
No.
Goz, you're probably old enough. Do you have Clark Keating for me?
Yeah.
He was mad bugger. Clark, you have a look Keating. At the 2002-03 grand finals. He just went whooshka from about 40 metres. And all he did was fist 30 metres. He had four touches and gotten the best. That's a big man.
Yeah, that's nice.
So big Clark, he was a bit like you.
I like, your point there. Like you said, the big run-ups, like it added theatre, massive theatre to the game because literally both ruck would start on each other's half forward line, half back line, which way it is, and then just enter it like into the middle and jump into each other.
Gladiators.
Unreal,
crowd.
Unreal. But also with the smaller circle, there's more room for injury to each ruckman because you are in a smaller space and you do have to actually have contact to get the ball, where this was more, the old school one was literally like ships of the night passing each other. You could actually avoid each other, which I would have loved. Avoid each other and just go for the ball like a high jump competition.
Yeah.
There's a case here. Do we have an AFL contact? Mini Hutchie.
Mini Hutchie. Get Simon Madden on.
Start a petition. Get rid of the small centre circle. Bring back the gladiator theatre style ruckman centre bounce.
I was running around when it came in. And I must say, it came in the AFL and VFL, and in the amateurs and the Northern Footy League, it didn't for another few years. Mm. And it was way more fun if there was no twos, twos, and you went back to local footy.
Unreal.
Going back to the cricket pitch.
Mm.
And you didn't think, I'm going to do my PCL today. So they might have overcooked it, and it's something to look at. Yeah. And getting your opinions really good on it, because I think you're right.
And actually, if there's 5 seconds left in a game, it's pretty hard to get a clean hit out to a mid who then bangs it forward for a forward to mark. If you bring back the old school one, you can actually have a ruckman who can smash it forward to your centre half forward line, get one on the boot quickly. You still have a chance with 5 seconds to go. I've got a serious case here. I'm so happy.
Do you want Gill's number?
Gil's job, yeah. Gil, we love you, but your job's in trouble. It is, obviously.
We'll continue. The other big issue, we're going to go around the world a bit because we're an international show and I'm told we're getting a few good downloads from the States. So Ben Simmons is a 200-pluser. Good Aussie boy.
A lot in the NBA.
In the NBA.
A lot, but there's a lot of 200 pluses in the NBA.
Yeah.
Big membership
kind of
group.
Big market.
Big market over there. Massive market in the NBA. Maybe we're in the wrong demographic.
Oh, there'd be a pod for the non-200 pluses over there.
Huge.
He's been smashed. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, to read the quote from Stephen A. Smith, who's the big commentator over there, and over there the commentators earn 15 mil. It's extraordinary. Crazy. This guy's a pen pusher and a commentator, and he's the big dog. So he said, the weakest, most pathetic excuse for a professional athlete we've seen, and he goes on, and there was more than that. My opinion, I don't think a reporter can say that. regardless of, look, he hasn't played for a while, had a mental health issue. Now he's pulled out of the playoffs with a bad back and they got swept. Not an ideal situation for Ben, but in my opinion, that's overcooked. What do you reckon?
I think it's too much. Way too much.
Yeah.
Like, there's probably more than meets the eye with that story with Ben just not being able or wanting to play. I think I saw something that came out and he said he's got a mental block where he associates his back pain to basketball and he just like freezes, like he can't do it at the moment.
Yeah. So that's almost an illness, isn't it? I mean, you feel sorry for him. Yeah, he's still earning the huge money.
Yeah, it's actually sad, like the full pile on for Ben. I'm sure there's bigger issues with his mental state that's going on right now. Yeah,
the difference between AFL and like the NBA, Premier League and stuff, those, they think they can say what they want about those players because they earn so much and they're like mega celebrities. So I think we get looked after a little bit more compared to them and what they say. But yeah, it's probably not nice.
No. Yeah. Look, I'm with you. I don't think that'd fly in Australia because there is a real respect for men in the arena and not many of the journos have played. There's some hard... I mean, Kane Corns probably plays the role. We can go back to Anzac Day a little bit. He had a real crack at young Gidovan.
Mm.
And has he come out the other side? I mean, kid's got some spunk. Mm-hmm. Kane, to his credit, and I like this about Kane because I got it wrong. All right, I called it as I saw it. I thought he was overdoing it for a kid that had played a couple of games, but hey, he's made of the right stuff. So he's probably, I don't want to pump up Kane too much because I don't think he's quite getting paid 15 mil by Big Hutchie.
No.
But he's probably our Stephen A at the moment, the one that'll just... You know, just same. Go bang.
Yeah.
I guess the question, yeah, how do you find the AFL media? And any concerns? Is there anything you don't like? Or have you ever been smashed?
No, I've been pretty lucky so far. I get a lot of people just pumping me up. But
before this morning when Bucks came to smash you. Yeah. Three touches.
Yeah, apart from Bucks smashing me. But I have seen it get quite bad though. And then it's funny when we rock up to training and there's three cameras waiting for you as you rock up. It's a bit like... Oh, but yeah, I don't know. I've been all right, but I know they can get pretty nasty.
Yeah, yeah, they can. I've been on the end of some bad stuff. But
you, when I was in Adelaide, were a story for a while, right? Oh. So you were part of a big trade, like you were trade spec, right? And little old Adelaide,
like
you don't have to be a Chris Judd to be like the lead story.
Could be
right?
Anyone.
So I'm there one day and they go, Gorringe wants to get to Port. And everyone's like, oh, young, tall, Norwood. And there was a stakeout for Gorringe.
Yeah.
I remember he was the three camera at the airport job.
Bring him home.
I don't think you came.
No, I didn't come actually, no.
No, but I don't think you even came into Adelaide. Everyone thought you were going to meet with Port.
Oh, yeah, no, I got taken out the back of the airport.
Right.
VIP way.
Oh, one of those flogs. Yeah. Couldn't face the camera.
No, I was supposed to. People might have heard this before. At the, not even the end of the season, maybe a month before the end of the season,
yes.
I said to Gold Coast, I wasn't getting any opportunity. So I was like, look, I'm done. Like, I don't want to be here. I'm clearly not getting a look in. I think it's best if I have a fresh start. Went down terribly. They said, we'll facilitate a trade if we can in the trade period. So that's great. Obviously, I had set that up with Port as well to be like, hey, I'm told Gold Coast already, like, we've been talking for most of the season. I've done my end of the bargain. Now you guys have to make it work at the trade period or I have to go back there. Like, I just cannot go back. I've literally told them pretty much I don't want to be there.
Up yeah, yours.
Actually, yeah. I said, I don't want to go back. Anyway, the trade period played out and it was the last day and still nothing had happened. And I called Port and I said, hey, I really, like, hey, what's happening? I just want to check in with that trade thing that I said I was going to do. Like, still pretty keen to come home. You guys keen to bring me home? Yeah, like, please. The Norwood boy, please. Bring him home kind of thing. They're like, yeah, no stress. Don't worry. It's going to happen. Tomorrow's going to happen. We're just finalising a few things. Gets to 4:55 p.m. Trade period ends at 5 p.m. Like, hey, a little bit concerned now. We have 5 minutes. Just want to know, are you still bringing me home? Yeah. So sorry. Couldn't get a trade done. Gold Coast are playing hardball. Rah, rah. Anyway, a lot played out behind closed doors. Didn't happen, didn't work out.
No.
So then I'm fuming, I'm so pissed. I have the races, Caulfield races next day.
Great day.
So Michelangelo Rucci calls me.
Rooch.
Rooch calls me, a reporter in Adelaide. And I was emotional and back was up. He goes, how are you feeling? I said, Rooch, how do you think I feel? And I just opened up and paused like, what a disgraceful, I'll never deal with them again. What a terrible insipid football club. Ken's terrible, one of the worst coaches, bad culture, rah, rah. get my flight, land back in Melbourne, phone blowing up, manager text, what have you done? Oh, no. Had caused a massive scene in Adelaide. Anyway, had to put that out. Back to the Gold Coast after the race day. Hey guys,
get the quad.
Great to be back, guys. Like, so just want to say I love this footy club. Cannot wait to get back to work. Terrible.
I do remember covering it, and we were all rooting for you. Yeah. We wanted you back. So there was a bit of there was a bit of character there, and you'd taken that big half hanger that you dropped at that stage, and the highlights were good, right?
Yeah.
The story, because of what you said to Rucci, who was the big dog, he was like the Mike Sheen of Adelaide.
Yeah, right? Massive.
This is how the media sort of framed the story, that this bloke, who's played 15 games, has said up yours to two clubs in a week.
Real arrogant vibes.
Who is this
guy?
Just
destroying, just absolutely burning two clubs to the ground. No. So that was a lesson learnt, but good learning experience.
Right, that's good.
Don't ever put your faith in Port.
Go down swinging.
Go down swinging. It was good.
So you don't really have any media gripes? Oh, question. Actually, I occasionally get sent to your car park. It's the worst job. Would you talk to me?
I'd get around you now.
You just got to say g'day. Yeah. But speaking for the journo, it's just good. They're actually not after that much. So, because I can see both sides. And I'm like, don't hound the poor player. He's had a shit one and they've been beaten. The coach has had the laser pointer where he's pooed his pants three times. He doesn't need to be talking to you. But really, they're like, you got to go and get some reaction from the Bombers because they're shit. Pretty much if you go, oh, g'day, mate. Yeah, it's really disappointing. And we've got a meeting today. Have a good day. They'll go, he spoke. Yeah. Let's go home and get a coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
So the boys don't have to overthink it. And so the journos hate doing it.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
No, we're probably scared. You don't want to smile because in case they put it on the go. Boys come in smiling on after losing.
Yeah.
I got caught that doing that the other
you
week.
You did, actually. I didn't want to say anything, but now we're talking about it.
Yeah.
The game was 3 days ago.
So why are you happy?
Smiling. I wasn't smiling.
It's bullshit. You're allowed to smile.
It's more of a
smirk. After a game.
No, it was post game against Freo. They clipped us. Caldwell was probably laughing a bit too much, I reckon. But it was
what was loving it.
Yeah, he was talking to Sarong. I think Jai's girlfriend's sister is with Sarong.
Okay,
so there's a bit of family Christmas there. I made a bit of laugh by that, but yeah,
just a story about anything like. Players smiling after a game.
Yeah. I guess
it happens every year.
Literally.
That's a fan thing, though.
That is.
You go to Greensboro.
Oh, yeah.
And Gorringe was laughing.
Yeah.
And we got smashed by Heidelberg.
There's lots of laughing, but I'm not touching the footy.
Don't pay him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Too late. I love the footy club.
Well, obviously, in the AFL, we're doing it okay. And there's always someone that wants to make a name for themselves. You've got to just deal with that.
Just roll with it.
I like you, mate. You be you. Say good day.
Yeah. Mm.
Hello, boys.
Yeah.
And you won't have any issues.
Nah,
and you're mainly getting pumped up. That's amazing. You got Ayrsy in your corner.
Yeah.
And you're doing AFL ads and Lethal.
Yeah, you got a lot
and
of
Mick
fans.
Malthouse loves you. The whole Hall of Fame loves you.
I love you.
I love you.
Thanks. That's all I needed. We're done here.
All right, let's move into our spirit animals, the players other than Drapes that live the 200-plus values of just presence and not worrying about possessions and knocking blokes over and resilience. Jack Hayes for me. I love this guy. He's a DVD and a tape sender, like me. I keep sending them until I was 26.
Yeah.
I was actually given a cease and desist by AFL clubs to stop sending this rubbish.
Stop, please.
Adrian
stop.
Dodoro flicking them on to EDFL teams. Oh, g'day, mate. Adrian sent your video. I'm due to stars. But Hazy did it, and it worked. So I love this guy. He was starting to. He was going to have a really good year.
Yep.
I reckon. Lad does his knee. He'd already kicked a big goal, but what I loved about him is he played on. He fell over on the wing. ACL. The guy's trying to change direction, but not one of these. I've had a little knock to the knee. I'm coming off. So I love the Saints are going to give him another year.
Yeah, that's
hopefully
good.
Two.
Yeah.
Good luck with the rehab, and we'll get him on at some stage.
Yes.
Because I like the guy. He's a tradie out of like the Clare Valley.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
Yeah,
I watched him closely last year. Played for Woodville because my mate Kobe Much is down there. So he's a serious player. So I was very happy he got the opportunity. I was telling Adrian Dodoro last year, I was like, this guy's pretty good. Get him in. But Adrian didn't
Drapes
listen.
Drapes some serious pull. That's all working out. That's what I've discovered.
Because I heard the same from the Crows. Apparently, Matty Nix was one of the big. He said, look, he went to the Sanford Grand Final, ripped it up at centre-half forward, won the medal, and goes to the recruiters, a bit slow.
Mm.
I mean, come on.
No.
Big apparently. Guys, we don't care about the clock.
No, we don't. Mine is, a big, big man, 202 centimetres, 102 kilos. Lucas Stranatica.
Yeah, we love Stranatica.
Now I turned the game on during the weekend, and I was just flicking. I was like, "Who is number 34?" Got my attention. Luke Stranatica, just selling some candy. I think he played his first game.
Yeah, well,
I'm looking around for confirmation. Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah,
looked at home. I'm on him.
Yeah.
I'm buying into his stock. Luke Stranatica is my spirit animal for this week.
Nice.
Just on the Stranat, see, I called that game. Not only was he, who is this guy and how do we pronounce his name? He was in the 34, but we got a, the commentators got an email saying, hello there, commentators. Luke Stranatica is supposed to be like 51. We haven't got a jumper yet, so he's wearing some other guy's 34.
Unbelievable. Even better.
So I had a touch of the so U playing in the Carlton 2s about it.
Yeah.
But the, he was good. He's in next. He's in until Nick Nat comes back.
It'll be better if he goes to 51 for this week. I'll love that good. More.
Didn't even have a
jumper. The higher number.
Oh,
my
God.
Yeah.
Who you got, Drapes?
Yeah, mine. A little bit different, this one. We're going with the Rob, Riley O'Brien.
Yes.
Not only he did dominate last week against the Bulldogs, but I'm not worried about that.
No.
Riley O'Brien is a genius.
Ooh.
He has finished his biomed degree.
Okay.
And now he's studying neuroscience. And he was had the top grade in like three subjects in Victoria. So he's a very smart man. And that's my spirit animal for this week.
That is so.
That is very rare.
It's a smart big man.
They're rare. Yeah. They're
and he plays smart because Will Minson was smart. But Rocket used to go, "You're the dumbest smart bloke I've ever seen." And bully him a bit because he'd do dumb things on the field, Will. Which happens because you're all full of juice.
Yes.
But Riley O'Brien like is quite a smart footballer too. Although when he leaked the thing to Nick Nat, wasn't that smart.
Well, maybe it was.
One of the all-time. Oh, yeah. Poke the bear. Mm. One of the all-time melts, that was.
That's
I loved
a good
it.
Nomination.
Yeah. Right.
Shout out to Rob. Magic Hand Car Wash, 13 locations across Victoria, support our spirit animals every week. So we might sort Riley out when he comes to Melbourne.
Sure.
I don't think we're in SA yet with the Magic Hand Car Wash, but it is a beautiful place to get your chariot washed, as you'll find out. Mm. What are you driving at the moment?
Mazda CX-5.
Yeah. Rolling through. Deluxe wash.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So we love it.
Love it. Oh, yeah. Open to any car sponsor.
Right, this is the spirit.
Bickley's fart.
Yes.
It's on the rundown.
Please.
What do you want to know about Mark Bickley's
fart? Well, before we start recording, there was this story going around in the studio about Bickley's fart, and boys were laughing over there. You probably have heard it. Run me through Bickley's fart.
So Bickley's fart, and it has an Essendon connection. So... It's a big story in Adelaide because they haven't really got over it. It goes back to 1990.
Like me going to Port.
A little bit. That is a big Rucci story.
Yeah.
So 93 prelim final, the Crows were all over the Bombers, up by 40 points, cruising. And you know what Adelaide's like. They were queuing up in Rundle Mall for grand final tickets. We're flying over. We're going to be playing Carlton next week. Then Essendon just start chipping back, get to within 20. By half time. So all of a sudden it's game on. Really important that the Crows come out, set the tone.
Yep.
First goal of the third. Ruckman stands up, wins a few hit outs, and we're there. Okay, you get five goals up late in the prelim, you're home. So Graham Corns apparently did this amazing speech, like about what's at stake and what you need to do for the next half hour. And we will make history for our state. We'll make an AFL grand final. And apparently the boys' eyes were rolling. And even, like, you know, Andrew Jarman's playing well. And he's up. And they're just about to go and just attack it. And Mark Bickley dropped this horrendous egg fart. Like a hot fart.
I know the one.
And yeah, not one that one or two blokes smell. The whole lot. And so then it started to get in the noses, blokes started laughing, and they went out loose. They went out smelling fart and played like it.
Off their game.
So
Barks dropping
Mark
Bickley
fart. Effectively cost the Crows the grand final.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Barks with a fart just ruined a footy club. Huge. Yeah, you can't go from breathing fire to smelling egg fart.
I'll take note of that. No dropping guts in the race.
It is one of those things in footy, though. You get one occasionally. But it's nerves. It's not
nerves.
Like life.
I've got a little one from the weekend, actually.
Yes.
A fart story.
Well, no. It would have been dangerous if it was a fart. But now coming out, warming up at half time, I think, oof. Oh, no. I need to go to the toilet here.
Oh, no.
So I was, having a clinch together in the second half.
You played with it.
Second half clinch.
Yeah, the third quarter I was, in dangerous territory.
Wow.
You know, the guts get a bit churned.
Is that normal?
The game. Sometimes, yeah.
Was this the water? Is it the pre-game meal?
I don't know. Just all the caffeine.
Caffeine. True.
What, do you drill a couple of coffees? Do you like the no-dos? You're allowed to have the no-dos.
Nah, no-dos. Coffee, Red Bull, lollies.
Oh, yeah. Sugar, but caffeine.
Did you have any...
Big time.
Yeah.
I was a big air. Yeah. I was a big V-man on the way to the games.
Yeah. Like a big... A real tradie huge can.
On the way to like under 18 games for Nord. Massive V.
Tradie spirit.
Yeah, a huge one. Just coming out buzzing. Then I'll sleep for the second quarter. Just crash.
Any weirdness at Essendon about the... Just what you do on game day to get in the zone?
Yeah, we blast the tunes a fair bit. Jaden Laverty's on the music. It's pretty heavy stuff, but it's kind of it's funny. Like everyone sort of like does their own thing a bit. So like there'll be me like dancing, carrying on, clapping my hands, screaming, and then there's like Jordan Ridley and someone else is like meditating on the floor. And
I'm just, in the same room.
Yeah, there's just a bit going on, but
love that. Eclectic.
Yeah, that's what Truck loves me before the game. So I just carry on and bring a bit of energy and
loose energy.
Just fuck around.
You're so tense.
And how close to the bounce do you drill your last Red Bull?
I have the Red Bull in the team meeting, so about an hour before.
Oh, that's enough.
Just rip it open.
Your feet would be going a bit. Like, yeah. Oh, I love that. You, mate. Time for listener engagement, boys, which we love. It's the 200-plus fan base is growing by the hour. Mm. I know Gorney's a fan. I saw him the other day, and Gorney was getting excited about it. So, and there's merch coming. So, Budgie Smuggler, finish this sentence. Thanks to Budgie Smuggler, the best comment on Insta for our listeners will receive a $100 Budgie Smuggler voucher.
Wow.
And that's
huge.
Awesome. That gets you going for your custom budgies that are getting around the local footy.
Yeah. Have
Greensy got the custom budgies yet?
The green and white? They're in the works. Yeah. We have an agreement in the works.
Yeah. Get them because they're good. So 100 towards that. Great sponsor. So our question this week, when you get a bad corky, you should ..
Like that.
Everyone's had one. So when you get a bad corky, you should
cut your beer intake in half.
Yep. Smart.
Good areas. That's where I was heading.
Yeah, professional.
To.
Very professional.
Just
like that.
You can't not have a beer.
Mm.
You need a bit of blood flowing.
Yeah.
So I think that's smart.
Yeah.
If it's an 8-pinter, 4.
We don't drink pints, though.
So. No, we don't.
Good one, Drapes. I like it.
When you get a bad corky, you should make sure you're not training next week. Because we don't like training. We like the games. Mm. And the staff will be like, oh, you should run it out. Let's get moving for the game. Hold on. I've got a serious blood knot somewhere in a muscle in my leg.
It's calcifying.
I'll see you next Saturday and I'll be good then. So get the week off training. Good. Ice up. What do you ice corkies or not?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's contentious.
What do?
I used to heat them up.
Heat the corkies up.
I'm not a medical professional, but I don't think that's good.
Wow.
So, are you done? Because that was good.
I'm just saying,
if
you extend it out,
stuffed up your budget.
It's like a 1 week injury, so you can get out of training, which is awesome.
Mm.
And then you just roll up next week, and it's all good. Minimal impact, minimal work you have to do.
You don't want
to
get another corky on the corky. Mm. Some
danger zone,
dickhead comes in
not worth it.
You know, 3x3 handball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And clips your corky.
Not what you need.
So mine was, I was kind of with Drapes on the like cut your bourbon and cokes in half sort of operator. But the other one, I think when you get a real bone rattler like Roe Marshall did, I think you've got to find the oldest male trainer, get him to get some goanna oil and deep heat.
Yeah. Oh,
and
work
hit
through it.
Yeah, the old Jack Cale. You've got to rub them out.
Yeah.
I'm no medical
professional.
It's a bit
of a 1980s thing, but you can rub them out a bit.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, you've now gone say, let's heat them up and rub them.
Yeah.
And rub it out.
I think it's ice and leave it alone.
The old Port Adelaide way, the old Alberton way, Alberton.
Yeah, yeah.
I got one. And I was in some reasonable sandful form in about 2004, and they said, you've got to play next week. We're rubbing that out. So the big trainer came with a tub of Tiger Balm. And had a go, and Jesus, it hurt.
Yeah, it would have.
But it played next week.
Okay.
That's a great effort.
So I think rubbing, then icing.
Okay.
Yeah, not heating.
Yeah.
Ben Rutten, if he hears this, will be going, get this dickhead
get
off.
Him off. Yeah,
what's
get
he
him
doing
away
to my
I'll take it to my physios and see what they say. But yeah.
My brother's your physio. He'll be saying, get this dickhead off. Anyway, that's good. So the question again, when you get a bad corky, and we've all had one, you should ... hit us up on Insta and you could get a $100 budgie smuggler voucher coming your ways. And we love the budgies. You're a big budgie man, aren't you?
I am a big budgie man. If you see me down, I live in St Kilda, so most days off. Yeah.
You're stalking you.
You come down, yeah. You'll see me in the budgies.
I miss rehab. I love rehab.
Rehab?
Just like getting in the water after the footy with a coffee. And
you can still do it.
So once, a couple of years ago, I was up calling, I think you were gone, but it was a Gold Coast St Kilda game.
Mm.
And this was a touch embarrassing. So I was up there. I thought I had a good call. And my flight wasn't until 1 o'clock back to Melbourne, so I thought I'm going to get in the budgies on the Gold Coast beach. And I'm strutting around, and the Saints boys came down for rehab, and I'm chatting to Alan Richardson in my budgies. And then I knew a couple of boys, so I joined in rehab.
The commentator with my little shrinkage. I'm chatting to left lean.
Boys, want to have a stretch with you?
I didn't realise I was doing it.
Oh no!
real happy with himself. Yeah, that's good. Pretty good call last night. Getting water, boys.
Oh god,
that's great.
Sorry, Japes. Anyway,
unreal.
Good on you, budget smuggler. Hey, boys, almost there. Mm. Good fun show. Just a reminder, 200+ brethren and family out there, which is growing. I mean, Gorney's on, and Big Nank. Big Nank gave Nank's me the week on. When I mentioned that
Tim English just called.
You've got a responsibility here to when you talk to the players after the game. I hope you're not a pre-game chatter.
No. After game, the ruck fraternity.
So, hey, 200+ boys.
There's a club.
Yeah. No, there is an unofficial club anyway. The rucks chat after the game. I don't know. Yeah,
it's about hit-outs and stuff. It's still that's a thing.
Yeah, how's the body, man? Yeah, good. Yeah, how you been? Yeah, same, good.
Eating up your corkies, man?
When
Little Hutchie gets our 200+ budgies through the door, you can distribute.
Flick them out.
Say, when the cameras are off, boys, pop into the rooms, we'll have a can and give you your budgies.
Mm. Like it.
That's good. Mm. So reminded that the pilot's out, right? So this is our second ep. The pilot's there. It's a bit weird, the pilot. We had a bit of a go at a few people, but set the scene for what we're about.
Again, not we. Yep. One man did here on this podcast. But we're with you, though. We're in it with you.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. So download that, and then this ep one's very timely. So we better have a look at the weekend of footy. You've got the Dogs. Big Steph Martin. He's a genius, too. He's a 98.5 man.
Okay.
And he's a big boy like you.
He's a big man, yeah. Nah, Steph, he's a nice guy. I've chatted to him after the game a few times. But, yeah, I'm excited for this week. We need to get some wins on the board, so hopefully this week we can get one.
You will.
Still good feels down there?
Yeah. Doesn't kind
always
of,
good feels.
Doesn't feel like we're 1-5. It still feels like we're building, which is good. So Truck's been big on that his last 2 years. It's not about the wins and losses on the at the time. It's more about how we're building, and I think we are building. So,
you've been in great form today. Great pod form, and great footy form. That's the pod sweet
good,
spot.
Pod good, play good. I always say.
You should have had the podcast back in the day. You would have.
Yeah, I know. I would have been a Brownlow medalist.
What are you looking forward to, guys? You footy nerd?
Just all the ruckmen, really. Just watching them, admiring them, strength, weaknesses, and just general comments. I'll come back next episode and let you know what I found of the weekend. And looking forward going to AFL House and starting my petition to get rid of the circle.
Like that.
That investment pitch is going to start this weekend. Investment pitch.
You've been strong.
Thank you.
I'm going to ring Gil McLaughlin. Apologise.
Yes. Thank you.
Because while truth is a defence, and you know what? I think I've got the tape. I think that game ended up on one of my tapes to Essendon that I sent Adrian to Dora. So I'm going to find Gil putting up one mitt.
Smart.
But the language was poor and it was a bit disrespectful. So I'm sorry, Gil. So I'm going to give Gil a ring. That's my
He'll
prediction.
He'll appreciate that.
Yeah.
Good.
That was 200+. See you next week.